It's time for Girls in Golf Podcast with your favorite hosts, Lex and Sarah. Ladies, when you're ready.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. Welcome to Girls in Golf. I'm Lex, joined in studio by my friend and coworker, Sarah. We have a very cool episode today, but before we get to our interviewee, there's a couple housekeeping things that we need to tell you. First of all, the Maverick Irons and Hybrids are available for sale at a golf retailer near you or at CallawayGolf.com. Sarah, they're pretty cool. It's a pretty sweet setup, I think.
I mean, I agree. I mean, I don't know about you. I've tried them and I like them, and
see, I haven't tried them, but I know that there's ton of artificial intelligence in them. That's like the real big thing used to create all the faces for the irons and the hybrids. There's just like so many possibilities for every golfer.
Yeah, what we have is five irons and five different hybrids, all with different faces. Two of the irons and two of the hybrids are for women as well. This is the first time we've ever done two for women before,
I think so. Definitely so, since you and I have been here, it's the first time. It's really great that they have those two offerings, just a little bit, you know, lighter and definitely skewed more for a woman. So definitely go try those out if you have a retailer near you or someone you trust to fit you. Also, in about a week, we'll have this little video airing on Golf Channel, which we're really excited about. We won't give away too much. But if you want to know more about the Chicopee Golf Plant, you can find out more next Tuesday.
Yes.
That's all I will say. Today, we are focusing a little bit inward. It's one of our, actually, I think it's our first time interviewing one of our coworkers.
And we're interviewing her because she's new.
Yeah.
We have another woman on our team.
So exciting.
So exciting to always have not only a new person, but for that person to be a girl, because there aren't as many of us as there are the guys. So we're really, really excited. So her name is Jen Turk, and she's a part of our social and content team. So we got a chance to chat with her, see what she's going to be doing here, what changes she wants to make, and just a little bit about her personal life too. She's also into space, sneak preview. Yeah. So, yeah.
Welcome back to Girls in Golf. Lex, well, I'm Lex. I'm joined by Sarah in studio. And we're also joined by one of the newest members of our marketing team. Her name is Jen, to start off. But I'm going to give you a couple of other fun facts about her before we let her speak. She started off her journey on this earth in Cleveland and somehow ended up here. She was a communications major in college, but first she was pre-med. So, you know, watch out. Maybe she'll be on Grey's Anatomy someday. She has worked everywhere from a stable all the way to the PGA Tour. And now she's working for us in kind of our digital content space, kind of undefined, which is kind of great and exciting. Welcome, Jen, to our podcast.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah, we're really happy that you're here. You've come in at such an interesting time in our department with a lot of change, but also a lot of like new products. And I think it's a really good opportunity to have like more women in the department, which we've actually seen and we're really excited about. So why don't you give the people a little rundown on like where you came from and why this job appealed to you?
Sure. So I came from the PGA Tour. I lucked out and I met the right people in Jacksonville and I got into their marketing team, learned a lot about individual tournaments and how they present them in local markets as opposed to global. Then moved over to the brand side, which for the digital brand of the PGA Tour, and like kind of got to see how that all worked and how it was different from the local tournaments and then the larger umbrella of the brand. And all throughout that, was very lucky that I feel like a lot of times, you know, golf, we get dinged for being a very male market. But most of the teams I worked on were very female heavy, giving that might be more of a marketing trend, but kind of got to see the ins and outs of that, and then also got to see different perspectives, whether it be male, female, numerous different backgrounds. And with the tour leading me to Callaway, I met a lot of really great people that worked at Callaway that loved it. I had met Amanda Balionis, who had said nothing but great things about you guys, and she was like, you just need to talk to them. I feel like this would be a great fit for you. And I came here, and the main thing that really made me want to come to Callaway was that I, when you look at golf, it's very, it's intimidating. Mm-hmm. And from the outside person looking in, and what I loved about Callaway is I looked at, you guys had content like home course and just the jump and kind of telling the story of how people got to the course. And I think that's the most interesting part about the whole sport is that anyone can play it. And yeah. the beautiful part is they might have like a championship or the Augusta. I mean, if you know the right people, you can go play it. But if you are a regular person, TPC Sawgrass Players Championship, you can go play that. Like, and you can also get that hole in one or that possible birdie. But I'm not saying it's going to happen guaranteed, but it's the only thing that you can do that. They're not going to let you on Gillette and like go be Tom Brady for right. the day. So that's kind of what I love about golf. And that's how I got to Callaway.
So there's a lot of different avenues that you can go down when it, in terms of like brand. Mm-hmm. What made you passionate about digital content?
So I was in college and I graduated in 2008 when kind of Facebook was booming and mm-hmm. I had my first Facebook in 2004 and
dang,
like
trendsetter.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm very old trendsetter now, but glory days, it'll pass you by. But what I really loved about digital was that I, as a person who moved around a lot as a kid, you lose touch with people. And with yeah. digital, like, you can keep that connection if you choose to. Mm-hmm. And it really opened my eyes to that whole market and that whole community. And then I loved marketing because I was that kid that, like, would sit there and memorize jingles and, like, loved campaigns. Like,
yeah.
the Budweiser frogs, still the best. I don't care what anyone says. That was
over
my...
Over the Clydesdale.
Yes. Well, I love the Clydesdales. Like, oh, they started to make me, like, cry. Like, yeah. when they're kneeling mm-hmm, yeah. during September 11th, I was like, oh, heart, yeah. too much. But, I mean, and the baby Clydesdale just wants to make it. Like, yeah. I just want Bud, Weisner.
Yeah.
Like, just make me laugh. But they're just so great. Now I'm, like, going through all the Budweiser right. ads in my yeah. head. But, yes, but, yeah, only if you're 21. But how I got to digital marketing, long story longer. By working in digital, I had the opportunity to see, graduating around 2008, they were just making now Facebook was becoming monetized. They were putting ads on it. It was becoming a marketing platform as opposed to just a social media, like I poked you. Mm-hmm. So kind of seeing that transition and running in front of some of the first ads, and we're learning little tricks from talking to Facebook about how you put a red border around the like ad and that'll make mm-hmm. it pop more
yeah.
and like stupid things like that. But I mean, it was just very interesting taking a platform that was meant to be a kind of a connection mm-hmm. and turning into a marketing platform, and then also learning the psychology of what we learned in traditional marketing and then taking that and putting it onto a digital space. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting. And then I was just like, my favorite thing to do is problem solving. Like, I love little like games, like little puzzles, and like digital and marketing colliding was now my new favorite puzzle of how do I get more clicks, how do I get more likes, how do I get this content in front of the right person. So it was just a constant game, and I have fun every day, even though yeah. some days I'm like, oh, why didn't I not figure that out? But like, yeah. it's, I don't get bored.
By yeah.
It.
Yeah. It is really interesting to like subconsciously, you can convince someone to click on something mm-hmm. simply by like changing in color or making it a GIF instead mm-hmm. of like a static image.
No, yeah. it's amazing. It's kind of like getting into someone's head and thinking how they would want to be targeted to.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I think also the best ads are ads that you don't know that are ads. Like mm-hmm. they're, it's giving you a value. Like mm-hmm. it's showing you something, you're like, oh, I didn't know that. I should buy that. Like, that's to be on the good side of marketing. We don't want to trick people too much, but it's just fascinating how people's minds work.
Well, I also think it's really interesting because you mentioned, like, you were, you know, or you were there to see, like, Facebook become this thing that connected people, but now there's this whole discussion over whether or not we're actually connected. Where do you stand on that? Because ooh. Obviously, like, this is where you work. This mm-hmm. is what you do, mm-hmm. trying to connect people to a brand. Like, what do you think?
Totally. Well, I still think that there's good in the Facebook world, and that I really enjoy the leverage of where people are like, oh, you're giving up, you're telling people too much. I feel like the service that I'm provided, like, I am a big fan of retargeting. I mm-hmm. put things in my shopping cart on Amazon, and I leave them there, and I get retargeted with an awesome coupon, and I'm yeah. fine with that. So I love that part. And with the connections and how that's continuing on, as someone who's moved around a lot as a kid, I've reconnected with people that I was friends with in like third grade. And it's also funny when they're also in marketing and I'm like, I knew I liked you.
Yeah.
So like, that's really cool to kind of see that the evolution of humanity, almost as much as we get Sometimes keyboards turn people into monsters.
Just sometimes.
Sometimes. But when you have the opportunity to reconnect with people or keep the connection, or even like older generations of grandparents and stuff, like now that moms are on Facebook, I'm sure there's grandmas
totally
on Facebook
too. It's a different
world. So it's, I look at it as almost just like a living scrapbook. And I think it's great for even hosting events and like things like that. I love the live application of Facebook. I feel like that's the most valuable component of it right now. And kind of letting people enjoy event together is kind of the magic behind it.
Yeah. What do you think, speaking of like the live events, because we were talking about that a little bit earlier, what do you think their opportunities are for that for like an equipment brand? Because you come at it from tour side, but for us it's a little different.
For the equipment side, I think just like, if we could do a time lapse of everything that went into a club, I mean, I know we're going to have to, it might be some magic of the movies involved, but like.
That is from, my department.
Yeah, there you go. I have faith in you.
Yeah.
Everything from like the alloys that are chosen to the metal, to the grinding, to like that, like the custom stamps that, you know, Anthony does, which are amazing, to like how a ball is made just from like all the different layers. Like I've seen the 3D team do a lot of really cool graphics on breaking that down.
Totally.
I would love to see it in real time, given a augmented real time of time delay. But like to kind of speed up the process and see that would be awesome live. Also just like watching pros hit different balls or hit different shots or different, like the Epic versus the like the Maverick, and just kind of see the evolution of the technology. Because I can't swing the same swing over and over as much as my swing coach is telling me I can. But to see someone who actually can see the evolution of that live would be really cool. Or even just the long drive, kind of turn it into that. Like, give them different clubs, let them hit different things. And in the funness of betting, maybe involve a charity. You know, that might be the evolution. The next thing is, like, how far do you think they can hit that? And, like, get people involved.
To, like, bid on it.
Exactly. So I think with... that's kind of the conversation that's happening anyways at the golf course. Like, you see two people going, how far do you think they're going to hit that? Like, if you could bring that conversation to the online space, that would be so much fun. The whole point of having all these connections and digital and logins is to just find people who also have similar interests in you and then have that conversation continue. And I really think that we as Callaway can kind of take people into our brand and take them to our events and take them in to our behind the scenes only certain areas that you have allowance to go, but let them see what's going on, like let them see where the magic happens, just throw that Cribs reference out, but like what do we have that is happening here on the daily that we're taking like for advantage, like we're not appreciating the little details of stuff. Like I walk down the hall and there's people out there like custom like pressing and stamping wedges, and then you walk a little bit further and there's ball testing, like there's amazing things happening here every day, and I'm like, oh, that'd be cool. Or even just like just little pop in little lab camera.
We've got a lot of cool stuff that we need to find better opportunities, more opportunities to share them. Being just more of a push for women's marketing in general. That's why our podcast even exists.
With OGIO's new launch, I mean, I already bought like all of the Starlet bags. I'm like
so
obsessed.
Good. So pretty.
They're so pretty. And I think you guys like I love the tag of like, we didn't shrink it and pink it. I was like, that's genius. Like that line right there, like made me like turn right on. So it's awesome to see that. Like the marketing campaigns are being steered more towards women. Like there are other people than men playing golf and they are women. So
what opportunities do you see for our brand when it comes to women's golf?
Well, I think also just by Callaway being approachable and not being like, oh, you have to look this certain way to play golf. Like, the women that are on the team are all different shapes and sizes. They also all come from different backgrounds. And that alone, like, is inclusion right there. And so I think when you see people that naturally in your brain, if you see someone that looks like you, you think that you can do that. So I think by including people of all different backgrounds, we are then reaching out to women and being like, come hang out. This is a fun thing. Like, you don't have to play all 18. There's nine. Or just go to the driving range with your girlfriends. Have a bottle of wine. It's a really great stress reliever.
It's a great time.
So And it's, I think with the marketing being the way it is and also having our Callaway team is more diverse and there are more people from different backgrounds that are also being part of the message building and sending out. Mm-hmm. I think them being involved is huge, and I think it's great mm-hmm. to see so many different faces and so many different people coming to play golf together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Women's Day, I think you guys, didn't you guys do a lot with Women's Day?
We did. Yeah. That's kind of like when we launched this podcast, yeah. which was on Women's Golf Day, because we saw like a chance to kind of do something a little different and make a video that was like about the women that work here mm-hmm. and how like we all touch golf, from engineers to designers to like all of mm-hmm. us. So it was really fun, and we're hoping to continue that this year and do something kind of new, which yeah. you've given us a lot of ideas, so we don't want to give away like all of your secret sauce that okay. you're coming to us with. But what was your like journey into golf, into the game itself?
Sure. So my family is a bunch of golfers, and we're all from Ohio, and there is a famous golfer, I don't know if you've heard of Bobby Jones.
Oh, might have heard of him once or twice. Yeah.
My great uncle was his caddy.
Sure.
Wow.
And he was his caddy during the 1929 Open that he won. Wow. And oh my gosh. So I've heard stories of like Bobby Jones. And mm-hmm. as a child, and everyone can hate me for this, I didn't appreciate it. I had no idea who Bobby Jones was. I was like, yeah, cool, Bob Jones. Don't yeah, care. Bob. Like, Bob, cool, nice guy, Bob. Like, did you see that I got an A on this progress report?
Yeah. Like, what so, about me?
Yeah. So, only child problems there.
Yeah.
But, so that was kind of, my family has been big golfers my whole life growing up. Mm-hmm. And I never really took it for what it was mm-hmm. and took the time to get to know golf. I had gone out a couple of times, but like, this is hard. I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Which now, looking back, the reason it's hard and the reason people appreciate it and this all comes together is yeah. like, this mm-hmm. sport humbles people.
Totally.
So I had that background. I was in lovely Jacksonville, Florida. I was working for web.com, the company. Mm-hmm. And it was the year 2008, 2010. Like, market was great.
Around that time. Yeah.
Those things were not great. So web.com, great company, no problems with them, but they were giving me entry level of what they could do at the time, and I had these things called student loans yeah. and mm-hmm. car payments and yep. bills. So wow. I was also bartending on the side as well, and through that I met Amanda Bellionis mm-hmm. and at the time her roommate Milan Moore, and they helped me get connected with the marketing department at the tour, and one thing led to another, and that's kind of how I got my in.
Yeah.
And from then on I picked up everything about Bobby Jones, and I was like, I need to know who about this man. I need to know what's happening.
I've neglected him for long enough.
The whole family tradition. So, and then I went out and I started to play. Some of the lovely people at the PGA Tour took me out, and it's funny, a lot of people that work there are old college players mm-hmm. or they all have a very big affinity for the game, so they instantly were like, yeah, we'll come out, we'll teach you.
Yeah.
So I went out a couple times and I had one magical chip in, and I was like, oh, This is what it's supposed to happen every
that's
time.
That's it, right? Yeah.
And this is that feeling. Uh-huh, and then yeah. you hit a couple drives pure, and like I was doing driver off the deck, driver everything. But then once you learn what the driver is actually for, yeah. and then you know mm-hmm. you incorporate some other clubs into
other
your
shots
game.
Into your game, yeah.
It's amazing what can happen. So I broke 100 once. I guess most people say that you should be going to break 90. Now I'm just trying to break 100
yeah, again.
So that's
going
kind
for
of
consistency.
Yeah, consistency,
here.
But I'm hoping, you know, I'm about to get fitted and have real yeah. clubs for me, and we'll see how that increases the game and yeah. hopefully lowers the score.
Well, you mentioned mm-hmm. problem solving, and like I feel like golf is a great sport for someone who loves to problem
oh, yeah.
solve mm-hmm. because that's literally all you're doing.
And it's a different problem every time.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Naturally. And mine are very creative problems, normally encouraging a lot of, you know, help from yeah. the crowd yeah. and like spectators.
What are you thinking here?
Yeah. A lot of lost in trees, roughs, you know, I'm very good yeah. at finding all the places in the golf course.
Me too.
But yeah. now that you kind of get the motion down, you start to like, it starts to become fun, and then once you can actually problem solve, right now I'm just creating problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, you played softball, like you've got coordination.
Yeah,
there.
It's in there. Yeah.
It's in there. You just got to transfer a few things around.
Just don't swing at the ground, not the air.
Right.
But it's the best part is being outside with people that you enjoy and that you want to be with for 5 hours, mm-hmm. maybe four if you're better.
Yeah.
And kind of just, the best part is just talking to people. It's the connection that you get on the golf course that you wouldn't normally get with other other venues, if you will. Like, there are people that have gotten jobs on golf courses. Totally. There are people that have met, like, I have one friend, she was a cart girl, and she met her husband on the golf course.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
He asked her out to go play nine after he got done with his buddies. Like, little stuff like that. Like, I mean, there's so many things that happen there. People are just, because you're being humbled by the golf course, I think you get to see a new side of people. And also, it's not a team sport in that you're trying to beat the people you're playing with. Everyone's trying to beat the course. Mm-hmm. The course is everyone's enemy. So it's almost like, as long as you have a common enemy, yeah, you are automatically best friends. So it's,
I like that outlook yeah, a lot.
So I just view it that way. And, you know, just remember to replace your divots.
Yes. Rules to live by. You also mentioned, so you mentioned Amanda and you know Hallie Ledbetter, who are obviously some friends of yours. What's it like working in the same industry as your friends? Because, you know, a lot of people would probably be like, oh, you know, like a few girls working in the same kind of mold and they're probably in competition. They probably don't actually like each other. It's so not true with you guys.
No, it's also like very different goals.
Totally.
Like, Amanda Bellionis is going to save every puppy in the world and be the best broadcaster that is out there.
Yep.
And she's going to crush it. And Hallie Ledbetter is probably going to go out there and make the world laugh at their bad golf swing and then probably onto Saturday Night Live or something else amazing, because she is probably the funniest person I know and one of the most humble as well. Same with
her
Amanda.
Her video from PGA Show was like, oh, it was so great.
I
live for her Insta stories every day.
Yes. The one I'm hoping she'll bring back soon is the ham mask, where she just randomly puts pieces of like cold cuts on her face. For like, I legitimately called her and I was like, wait, did that actually work? Like, were you messing or is that just really, is that like something you read somewhere? So, because I'm like, tell me more about your skin line.
Yeah, please.
But no, they're great girls. I mean, they're just fun people to be around. And like, when I first met Hallie, I was at Amanda's house during like, I think Thanksgiving. And we were going out and I wanted to wear a Santa onesie because I was like, this is going to be awesome. It's kind of cold here in Sarasota. And it was like 60.
Yeah.
And Amanda was like, no, you're wearing a dress. You're meeting Hallie Ledbetter. And I was like, I don't know who she is. And like, so anyway, she comes over. Hallie Ledbetter is wearing a Christmas ugly sweater and it's a DJing penguin.
Up.
And if you push a button on it, says Wicca Wicca Merry Christmas. And I look at Mandy and I'm like, and I had to wear a dress.
Yeah. You're like, you robbed me of the chance to wear my onesie.
I could have worn a onesie. But no, then like, Hallie's great. I mean, I didn't know who her father was when I met her. And so she had wanted to come over to the tour and she was very interested in Scratch at the time. And she had asked me, like, if I knew anyone. I was like, I'll put in a good word for you. So I'm more of a nerd in the, like, digital tech world.
Yeah.
I was very much still learning about the golf world. And at the time, I walked up to the head of Scratch, DJ Pajowski, and I was just like, so Hallie Ledbetter is very interested in being a part of Scratch. And he's like, pretty sure it's Ledbetter. I'm like, pretty sure it's Ledbetter.
Pretty sure you're wrong.
Yeah, I was totally wrong. He's like, did you meet her dad? Do you have any idea who her dad is? I'm like, nope.
Amazing.
So, but no, Hallie is probably one of the kindest people. Mm-hmm. She has welcomed me with open arms to the golf course, even though most of the time they're up in emotion of what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
But both of them have been more than accommodating. I have Amanda's old clubs. Like, they both have been like, come, we'll help you. Because I was very intimidated being at the tour and I was like, I don't know how to play golf.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's okay, come with us. Yeah. It's okay. So that whole interaction, they're great. They have not competition by any means. If anything, they're the best, like, advocates and the best people that are like, hey, that was really bad. Don't do that out of campaign again.
Or don't do that again.
It's a very open and trusting circle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's nothing either one of them could do that ever make me mad.
Mm-hmm. I love that because it's, like, it's seriously so abnormal, or at least from what you see. Like, I don't think there's just this, like, trend of, like, pitting girls against each other, even on shows that I love, like The Bachelor.
Classic.
You know, it's like, no, we can all be in the same, like,
oh, there's
space.
Enough
there's
room.
So much room.
Mm-hmm. And we've got, like, 18 holes.
Yeah.
So much
18
room.
Holes, plenty of course, plenty of out of bounds.
Yeah, totally.
It's fine.
I'm not going to be in the fairways ever. I give them to
just
everyone
leaving
else.
It wide open for you. So outside of golf, You have a dog.
I do.
You have a boyfriend. I mean, you've got a life,
things
right?
Things are good. Yeah. I mean, Blanche is pretty amazing. She makes the world a better place.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, we'll let dogs in the office one day. I'm just saying, shameless plug.
Mm-hmm.
But
I'm all for it. Dog Fridays. We need a better name, but like, you know,
we'll work on it.
Bring your dog to work day.
Or instead of like, you know, company childcare, we could have company dog care.
Oh my gosh.
Blanche is hypoallergenic. You know, she's ready to come whenever. She's got outfits.
It's fine. Just outfits.
Yeah,
yes.
She didn't have clothes until I started dating my boyfriend Nate. And then all of a sudden I come home and the kid has like bandanas and hats and
puppies and golf shirts.
Yeah, she got to grace some of Amanda's TV interviews as the official dog of Puppies and Golf. So that was pretty fun to watch.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
So you also have a fascination with space.
Yes.
I've heard you aspire to be an astronaut.
I apply every year to NASA to be an astronaut. Turns out I have none of the qualifications they want. But no, they are my goal in life. So, a little weird fun fact about me. I applied to MIT knowing full well I wouldn't get in because I wanted to get the denial letter. And I have it, and it's amazing.
Did you frame it?
I did, but I got lost and moved somewhere because I kept moving, so I'm going to find it.
Okay.
And then I also, I applied to be an astronaut every year because I want to get my denial letter on NASA letterhead so I can frame it, saying, like, NASA qualified.
No.
If you don't get it, I can help you out with that. I'm a graphic designer.
Oh, that's perfect. Photoshop. She's definitely the person.
They've broken up with me via email a couple of times, but I was just wanting, like, the tactile,
you need the physical evidence.
Mm-hmm. So it's happened. They said no, but technically not because I didn't get it in writing, and the United States government's official correspondence is male.
Okay. Mm.
So I'm just saying they haven't said no yet.
That's right. Not officially. No. What can you tell us about outer space then?
It's amazing, and it's very similar to the golf world, just to be crazy.
Okay.
Apollo 14, Alan Shepard, it wasn't a Callaway club. The year was 1971. We'll work on that. I'm thinking the first club on Mars will be Callaway.
That would be awesome. Mm-hmm.
But so it's Apollo 14. It's after Apollo 13, the great tragedy slash success of bringing them back. So everyone's a little on edge. So he didn't want to tell anyone. So the only person he knew that he was sneaking this six iron makeshift onto the actual spacecraft was a pro in Houston that he had help him build it. And it was a Wilson Club. But you can look that up if you want.
Yeah.
But you can bleep that. And he took two swings. First one, totally missed it because he's wearing a spacesuit. And the second one, he made contact and the ball went flying for miles because there's less gravity.
Right.
And all that.
Yeah.
Also, just with the space like program itself, everything in this room, space technology, everything on the golf course, pretty much space technology alloys that were used from the space program.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing when like the world is challenged to do something ridiculous, like go to the moon with all the technology of a calculator. We can do it.
Yeah.
Like, I like when people come together for something that is going to be greater. Like, and I just, that whole ideal, like, just speaks to my heart. And I used to live in Florida, and as a kid, I lived in Tampa, which my dad would drive me to go to space launches. He's also a space nerd. And I would get really mad at him if he would go faster than 60 miles per hour because I was doing a calculation to see how long it would take. And at the time, I was 5. So my calculations were like mile per minute. So if it was, you're going 60 miles per hour, it takes an hour. Like,
yeah.
So they weren't the best calculations.
But, you had enough space in your brain to, like, do that. I was coached.
Okay. My dad, like, broke it down for me. And I was like, aha. And we would go, and I had so much fun. And just that, like, also brings back childhood memories. Mm-hmm. And so when I lived in Jacksonville, I would continue to drive down to watch the rockets once they started doing rocket launches. But, yeah, huge fan of the space program. Anyone has any questions about the space program, come to my desk. Email me, text me, whatever.
Where can they find you on social?
On social, I am at Jen Turkish, and just, you know, Turkish after a classic movie called Snatch. I'm not actually Turkish, just let the record straight. But, I mean, it's just amazing. Watching something that's greater than you and is just going to benefit everyone. Like, at the end of the day, I'm yay technology, yay science, and all the alloys and stuff. I think we can talk about them because they're older. Yeah. The Ben Hogan Company was the first to use, like, they wanted to take pictures of the ball when it got struck, and they asked NASA to use their cameras because they were the only ones that had the technology at the time to see what happened during ball flight. So, like, how, what we've learned about ball flight all originally came from NASA. So if NASA would like to sponsor me to play in a golf tournament on the moon, I would be happy to. I'm just saying I'm available.
I think that's an amazing goal.
Totally one day.
Yeah, I mean, you're already in touch with them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll bring my own clubs.
Yeah, like, it's fine. That's right. Yeah, we got...
They're Callaway. They're better.
We've got that. We've got the hookup there. Well, before we let you go, how about you give us, like, three random fun facts about yourself?
Ooh, okay. As a child, I wanted to be left-handed, so I tried to do a lot of things left-handed, even though nothing worked. So I abandoned that goal.
Can I quick ask, why did you want to be left-handed? Yeah.
I just thought it would be cool. I wanted to be different. It didn't make any sense. I was always a new kid. I was just like, this time, I'm going to be left-handed. And then I'd easily, like, I'd be like, yeah, I'm left-handed. And then 2 seconds later, like, why are you writing with your right hand? I'm like, because I quit writing with my left.
You're ambidextrous.
Yeah, I'm not. And I'm a student pilot. I'm working on my pilot's license.
No way.
So that's another
fun fact.
You can
fly with Anne Van Damme. Yeah. She wants to be a pilot too.
I'm in. Let's do this, Anne.
That would be a great piece of content.
No, I grew up, my dad restores old World War II biplanes. So like Red Baron Pizza Company.
Yeah, that's
kind of the reference for you.
I used to eat those all the time in high school. Yeah.
That airplane. So we used to, when I was a kid, I was bribed with dollars and pizzas because airplanes are very low to the ground, so as a little kid I would crawl underneath and like screw in bolts and stuff. So yeah, big fan of airplanes. Also kind of led to the NASA journey. And all right, so those are two fun facts for you. Third fun fact, this is tough, guys.
You're doing good so far.
Yeah, you're doing no pressure. Great. Came up with those first two like wicked fast.
That's because I still, like, I saw my hand and I was like, could have been a contender. Let's see.
What about Blanche? How'd you get
Blanche? Oh, Blanche. Yeah. Oh, that little apple of my eye. So Blanche I got because my buddy, he is a tour photographer. His name's Kair. He was buying a dresser. And said dresser had a little dry rot on the back of it. And it was like from a shabby chic kind of place. And so I was like, Kair is one of the kindest people in the world. He would never complain. I was poking him a little bit. I'm like, you need to call this lady. Like, dresser is broken. And he was like, fine. So he calls her, we're on speakerphone, and the lady is just like, I would love to fix this dresser, I'm so sorry, but my dog is going into labor. And out of nowhere I pipe in, I'm like, what kind of labor? And turns out she had two golden doodles that were having puppies. And I met Blanche like 3 days later, and I stalked them. And I was like, I'm getting one of these puppies. And so I got Blanche. The reason I chose her is because I flipped her upside down and she did not cry. All the other dogs were like, yeah. And Blanche was like, okay, I guess this is happening.
Meant to be.
So
Where does the name stem from?
The Golden Girls.
Oh, okay.
Because she is a golden doodle and I am a shameless lover of stupid puns.
I love it.
So
I
think that's great. She's my little old lady. She's a great dog.
She is a great dog. I can vouch. I met her.
Oh, yes.
Well, Jen, this has been a pleasure.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, we're so happy to have you. Hopefully, we'll have you back soon.
Definitely. Maybe I'll, like, break 90. I doubt it. But, you know, we can keep that going.
I bet you can.
We'll do it. We'll do it together.
I like it.
We'll start playing more. That's our goal.
I love it.
Goal for 2019.
2020.
Oh, God.
It's okay.
It's okay, Lex.
Oh, we're time traveling now.
I'm trying really hard. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us, Jen.
It was a pleasure.
So that was our interview with Jen. She's really cool. Obviously, she's friends with Amanda, so we knew that she came highly, highly recommended. It was really cool just to hear, like you said, before we introduced her, she loves space, which is, like, so crazy. And I really hope that she actually gets her rejection letter from NASA someday.
Fingers crossed. And then we can help her frame it too.
Yeah, we can. We can help her frame it. You can design like a nice space for her to have at her desk. It's going to be great. We really look forward to doing more of these interviews. If there's anybody, any woman that you know of in our company that you would like us to talk to, because let me tell you, there's actually a lot of us, over 200 women at Callaway Golf. So if someone's on your mind, send me an email. I think actually we have a generic podcast email. We'll come back to that next Wednesday. Or tweet us. You can find me at CG Lexi. And Sarah, I can't remember your Twitter handle off the top of my head.
You're putting me on the spot right now.
I think it's hello Sarah Joe with an underscore somewhere in there.
I think it's hello _ Sarah Joe.
There we go. Sarah with an H. Anyways, So yeah, I hope you enjoyed this interview, and we will see you next week on Girls in Golf.